Get started. So, what I'd like to do today is talk a little bit about Harchatz Panav Yada Varaglov, which is, right, we didn't get to that yet, right? So, Sif Yud Beis is Harchatz Panav Yada Varaglov, and then from there to go into, you know, what we're doing essentially is those Harchakos that are more, you know, just intimate interaction kind of related Harchakos. So, Harchatz Panav Yada Varaglov, then get into Kol Isha a little bit, and also into smelling her perfume, that kind of thing as well. So those are the three things. Then if we get through that, then we will start the dining room harchakos, the mealtime harchakos. That will be what's on tap next. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Beis talks about Harchatz Panav Yada Varaglav. The base of this is one of the major harchakos that really appears in the Gemara itself in a very direct and clear way. The Gemara in Ksubas Tav Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, Kol Melacha She'isha Osa Labayla, Nida Osa Labayla, any malacha that a woman normally does around the house, a Nida can also do around the house. Chutz, Mimizikas Akos, Hatzos Amita, Varachatz is part of Yad Avraglav. So Varachatz is part of Yad Avraglav makes it onto the list of the three Archakos that are so severe that a Nida is not allowed to do around the house, even though it is a chore and not purely something of affection. Rav Ozner points out that Sefer Eshkol writes that just like she is not allowed to wash his Panav Yada Varaglav, he is also not allowed to wash her Panav Yada Varaglav, which probably you would have intuited on your own, but it's good to have a source, right? So Sefer Eshkol says that explicitly, that the man is not allowed to do that for his wife either. So the Rov Rishonim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, the Smag, the Smakagos Maimonios, the Rashba, all say that it means that even if she just pours the water over him without even touching him, that it would be including this Isser, because you wouldn't need to tell me that touching him while bathing him is Asr. I mean, if she was actually lathering water on his Panav Yada Varaglav, then that's going to be direct Negiyah, and that for sure is going to be Asr. The Chiddush of Harchatz Panav Yada Varaglav is even though there's no Negiyah, all she's doing is she's pouring the water from a kli or taking, let's say, the spritzy thing, right, and spritzing it on his face and his hands and his feet. And the Bach holds that a shinoi doesn't help here, like it would with mizigas hakos, because this is inherently more of a derechiba than mizigas hakos. So even though it's listed together with mizigas hakos in the Gemara, they're not necessarily governed by the same rules. Mizigas hakos, you have a heter of a shinoi. You don't have a heter of a shinoi when it comes to harchatzos panav yada varaglav. So the question is a woman allowed to prepare a bath or prepare water for the husband to wash with? Let's say she's not going to actively wash him. She's not going to pour buckets over him. Can she just fill up the bathtub for him? For whatever reason, he needs to take a bath, he can't take a shower, can she prepare a bath for him? So the Mi'iri in Maseches Ksubos Daf Dalet, which is the first time in Maseches Ksubos that line is quoted, of Kol Melacha She'isha Osa Labayla, even though it primarily belongs in Daf Samach Aleph, but the first time it appears in the Masechta, and the reason it sounds familiar to anyone who ever learned the basic Yeshiva Shem Masechtas is really from Daf Dalet, probably, because she was don't get to Daf Samach Aleph. So the Mi'iri over there says that, yeah, she's allowed to prepare water for him to subsequently bathe with. The Sefer Eshkol also says yes, provided that Shalom Bafanav, meaning that she could prepare the bath, but he can't watch her prepare the bath. In Rabbeinu Yonah, in Igeres HaTshuva, quoted by the Beis Yosef, he says no, she should not prepare the water and then place the water in front of him, because that's also included in Harchatz Panav Yada Varaglav. So let's see how this plays out lahalacha on the page in Shulchan Aruch. So it says Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Beis, Asura Litzok Lomayim Lirchot's pun of Yad of Raglov, Afilu Einu no Gaspo. Right? The Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rov Rishonim, even if she doesn't touch him, Vafilu Einu Tzoninim, and even if it's cold water, it's included in this Isser. Now, right here on the page, you have a major machlokas, Shach and Taz. If you look at the Taz writes as follows: Asura Litzok L'mayim L'chora Mashma Milashon Zeh Shasura Litein Mayim B'kli V'hir Chatz Acharkach. Not only can she not bathe him, she's not allowed to prepare a kli of water that he will then subsequently bathe in. That's what's mashma from the Shulchan Aruch. However, says the Taz, Aval Be'emes ain't okay. Not true, says the Taz. The reality is, she is allowed to prepare a bath, and then he will subsequently bathe in the bath. Why? So Taz says, I got three rayas. Number one, Dezel Lashon Rashba. Afilu Hu Rochets V'Himot Sakas. That the Rashba that we quoted before that says that she's not allowed to pour the water over his body with a kli, because it's obvious that she wouldn't be allowed to bathe him directly, because that would be touching. You're not even allowed to touch afilu betz b'ktana. Meaning, when the Rashba says it can't be talking about touching, what it must be talking about is he's bathing as she's pouring. So why did the Rashba say that? If the Rashba wanted to tell me the biggest chiddush, what the Rashba should have said is, even if he bathes after she pours the water, not while she's pouring the water, Elamai, you see that if he bathes after she pours the water, that's going to be mutter. So it's mashma that it's mutter for her to do that. The mitukas of hu rochets v'himotzakas, mashma the b'shas rochita shalom he yotzakas, that while he's bathing she's pouring. That's why it's aser. Veloshi mechina lo tchila kodem mechitzaso. That's raya number one. The lashon of the Rashba that the Beis Yosef quoted. Raya number two says the Taz v'su di mefarish de gamze aser. He says, I just don't know what the source would be. Where do you find anywhere that such a thing is asr? That it's asr to fill up a bathtub? Mehechi tesi. He brought a raya that it's asr to even pour the water over him, because if it were mutter to pour the water over him, then the whole issur would just be while she's touching him, and that you don't need her nisr for. So there was a raya for that. So it sounds like anything that you're going to be mechadish that's asr, you need a raya for. So if you're going to push beyond what is muchaf from the Gemara, you better have a raya. Maybe you're going to tell me, no, I'll tell you, Araya. If she's pouring the water on him, I don't need this Isser. That's Asser anyway if she's pouring the water on him. Why would that be Asser anyway? Just like it's usher anyway to touch him and to lather the water on him, to touch him and put the water on him. It would be usher anyway to pour the water on him, maybe you'll tell me. Why? Because you're not allowed to pass things to him. So she's passing the water directly onto him. So isn't that a violation of passing anyway? Mimela, it would come out that the whole issur of bathing must be to prepare the water in advance that he will subsequently bathe in. So says the Taz, that's not correct. That's not correct. And it says Yishlomar, it's too indirect. This would not be included in the issur of passing something from him to her, because she is not passing him from him to her. She is touching the kli is touching the water then goes to him. There's another step in between. So from any other perspective, any other sif, in Simu Kuf Tzadiyei, that would not be an issur. It's only asr mishum rechitza. Wow, that's a chidush. That's the heter for tennis, right? Meaning that's the Taz telling you that tennis and ping pong and those kinds of things are mutter. Why? Because what's he saying? As long as the item that you're passing is being passed not directly by hand but through a kli, that's not included in the asr of passing something. So and therefore I need this halach and shulchan aruch to tell me that she could pour the water over his body. Yeah. Right, meaning that if it would sound from this Taz, no, but over there it's while you're still holding the platter, so like it's Kiyu, you're still holding, meaning it's a meaning for Zrika, maybe we could, if you were to like flick it in the air and she would catch the chicken, right? Maybe that would be, if you take a ping pong racket and smack the chicken to it. But that would be handing, that would probably still be handing the rent.
That could be also anyway.
Yeah, so we'll get to the serving issues also. So there could be other problems with that also.
But you're saying you could even bowl.
What?
You could even bowl it if you play tennis.
Right, that's what I'm saying, right. Not only to hit a winner down the line, but even to volley would be...
You can't give a tennis ball to her.
What?
You can't give a tennis ball to her directly, though. Let's say
yeah, but who does that? Meaning when you give the tennis ball, you just smack it over, don't you? No, you're the athlete. I mean, I'm just...
former.
No, oh, okay. Yeah.
Whatever you say about the baseball glove, is that an extension of the hand, or that really stands
L'chora, a glove is an extension of the hand, I would think. Who throws with a glove? You throw with the bare hand, no?
No grip, but you catch with the glove. Is that a clear, is that...
No, I think that's an extension of the hand. It just makes it that your hand doesn't hurt. I think that's... So anyway, so that's a major line of the... Meaning that line in the Taz, it's not really addressing that point, but meaning his point over here is just to tell you about preparing bath water, but he's saying you can only bring a raya that it's usher to pour water onto her body, onto his body. from this Siv and Shulcharach, because that would not be usher based on any other Siv and Shulcharach. Then comes along raya number three. V'chein yirelimi lashon ha-Talmud. Shamar v'din zed archatzas panav yadav v'raglav aser v'davar zed shenasanas mayim l'kli t'chila b'li yitzik alav l'mikri rechitza klal. The words archatzas panav yadav v'raglav. Would you ever describe drawing a bath as archatzas panav yadav v'raglav? That's not washing him. V'ayilo lomar. What it should have said is dinasinas mayim l'harchatza aser. If the Gemara meant that making a bath is aser, that it should have said making the bath is aser. K'mo shomer sham mizigas hakos. After all, by mezikas hakos, it didn't say you pour it down his throat. It didn't say you are mashkehin. It said you do a mezikas hakos. So let it say that you do a mezika of water into the bathtub. Hachanami oyle lomer nesinas mayim mashkehin mitzakas al yadim mikishapi ruchitza al vadikit brashi deinusim nesinas mayim luchud. Says the Taz, and therefore I am correct. Those three rayas. And then he writes at the end. So that's the Taz. So essentially, what we get totally parenthetically from the Taz is that you could hit a ball with a racket, and that would not constitute Zrika. L'chor, a very strong raya that at least the Taz holds that way. But his main point is three rayas that she could prepare one. Comes along the Shach, Siv Katan, Tes, Zayin. The Kasav, Rav Rabbeinu Yonah B'Sefer Droshas Hanoshim, Da Asr Lases L'fnei Baila Kiton Shalmayim V'Kelim Shiyurchat V'Emraglav, he says it's aser, right? That you're not allowed to place in front of him a pitcher of water with which he will bathe. That even that's going to be aser. Rabbi Sablovsky says we follow the Shach, and therefore Rabbi Shachta said she should not turn on the shower for him if he wants to take a shower. I mean, sometimes like it takes a couple of minutes for the shower to warm up or something, so he just might say, oh, if you're in the bathroom, could you just turn on the shower for me? So then in 2 minutes when I go in, it will already be warm. So she should not do that, says Rav Shachter. She should not turn on the shower for him.
It's interesting.
If I recall, that's what Rav Shachter said. Because l'chora, it's not really about the water. Meaning, it's whatever is derech. Meaning,
and it is according to the Shita. According to the Taz, it's about her koach on the person.
No, it's not. It's still about Derech Chiba. The Taz is just, the whole discussion of Koach is it otherwise Aser?
Right, I'm saying, if we would say out Derech the Taz, then I would get more the Svara of Shachter. That, okay, like it's all about just, the Shach is just more expensive than the Taz, except that it's even true in that case.
Right.
No,
if you're providing him, she's providing him with the water with which to bathe. So she's still providing with the water with which to bathe. Whether she does it, you know, with a shinui or whatever, you know, you don't have any of those terim, where you do with derech grama or, you know, she's providing him with the water with which to bathe. I think that would be awesome. Rav Azan writes that even the Taz would agree that a full bath, is considered derech chiba. So he thinks that it's not even subject to the machlok neshach and Taz.
Is the Taz like discussing whether pouring would be nikia or hoshana?
So, he uses the term nikia, but it's not nikia. Meaning, it seems to be that it's the extension of nikia, which is hoshata.
Hoshata is probably not asur midina d'gemara anyways.
Okay. So it wouldn't be a raya because if you hold that hoshata is not midina d'gemara, and that's why he uses nikia. You're saying. That's maga al yedei davar acher. She nogas v'kli v'kli v'mayim v'kli. I hear. So you're saying that it might still be hoshata. It's just not going to be megia. But why doesn't he mention that? Because we pass on hoshata zaser also. Should at least mention that it's still the awesome.
we'd be like a lot more makom by regular
mishnah. Yeah, interesting. That's an interesting hara. Meaning, maybe what the Taz is saying, he's only discussing whether it would be negia, and he's saying so it's not negia, and therefore it's only asur mishum bathing, right? But it still might be hoshata. It's just hoshata is a more kal issue because hoshata came later.
Yeah. Is there a problem with
hoshata
if he's not catching it?
That's interesting. Is it hoshata if, let's say you know your wife can't catch? Can you just keep throwing things to her for fun and watching the balls bounce off her? Right? Is that an issue of hoshata? Yeah, I don't know if any rhymes.
Hoshata and would also say it's
Asur
even
Shalom B'Fanav? Even Shalom B'Fanav. And against the Sefer Eshkol. And what did Rabbeinu Yonah say? The Asur Lo Asay Lefnei Baila Kiton Shalom B'Fanav Shalom B'Fanav. Maybe he's on the Fnei Baila. I don't know. Rav Shachter said that it was... I seem to remember Rav Shachter telling us that she can't turn on the shower for him. Period. But I hear, meaning the Mar Makomos seem to tell you that it's really much more of a problem with Fana. Yeah. He just says it's Derech Chiba B'Yoser. So the whole discussion was Pana V'Yad V'Raglav. What? Yeah. What do you mean?
The Taz explains that he can't be carrying water for her husband because that doesn't fit with the Gemara, right?
Yeah, in Ochanami, he's saying, but that's like a Svaradik Harchaka. That's just like, he can't do things that are such Derechim.
Well, it wouldn't be Harchaka.
Yeah, Harchaka's part of the other Raglav, it's part of the other Raglav. Yeah, it's like something else. L'chut Shani writes that you can't fill up a washing cup for her either. Meaning, what happens? You're washing the fields of dime, everyone's washing for the meal, so you fill up the cup for the person behind you in line, right? That's a nice thing to do. You keep the water running for the person behind you in line. So the Chut Shani says you can't do that. And Rav Shechter thought that there's no Isser. Even though, if you look in the notes in the back of Rabbi Sobolovsky's Sefer, Rav Shechter writes that it's Isser, I think. But when we asked him, I think he said, no, it's not Isser. So I'm not sure what happened over there. Rabbi Sablovsky explains that we're makel because it's something that a person would do for anybody. There's mamish, no intimacy in that. I mean, you would do it for a total stranger, you would do it for, it's like something, you wouldn't prepare a bath for a total stranger. You wouldn't be, but this is the kind of thing that has, zero, it registers a total zero on the intimacy scale. It also may relate to Shomer Mitzvah Yad Tavara, in combination with those posting that hold that bringing water is not included in the Yisr, like the Taz, right, and all three Rayas. So when you put all that together, there's plenty of room to be makel. The Badei HaShulchan says she can bring him water when he's sick, even though we are machmir by Rechitza when he's sick, because if you hold it, you can rely on the Taz when he's a chol, essentially. So there's some discussion. The Rav Osner points out there's some discussion whether preparing water just for his hands, not part of the other raglan, but just for his hands, whether that's an Isser. Rav Osner says that so certainly for Ntilas Yadayim we could be makel. He uses that as a sniff. So there are many, many reasons why we could be makel for Ntilas Yadayim. So what do we have? Rav Solovsky says it registers an absolute zero on the intimacy scale. We have the fact that it's Shomer Mitzvah, that as you're doing a mitzvah there's less of a chance of it causing any sorts of hirhurim or anything like that. We have the Taz that anyway you're allowed to bring water to the person. So, and we have the possibility that hands alone are not a problem. That harchatza is harchatza's pun of yadav vivraglav, but not just yadav. That yadav alone is not going to be a problem. Okay, now why specifically pun of yadav raglav? So the Badei Shulchan says that it's a chiddush that since that's not considered ruchitza shaltanuk, as opposed to kol gufo, which is shaltanuk, and that's pashut that it's going to be asur. Right, that's meaning that what we define as ruchitza shaltanuk, meaning you're allowed to wash part of the other varaglav during the 9 days, but it's also the ruchitza shaltanuk during the 9 days. So you see that the definite, I mean, they used to wash the hands, face, and feet. It's davar shavu kol nefesh, right? Maseches Beitza. That they used to wash hands, face, and feet all the time with warm water. What they didn't do was bathe all the time. So bathing was considered to be a real ta'anuk, so ruchitz shal ta'anuk is going to be pashut, that's going to be us. So that's why we highlight panav yadav raglav. Okay, so that's as far as harchatza. Any additional ha'aras on that? Yeah?
Would it be a general call that if the harchatza is not for kiyas, but for like a mitzvah, would that not be good?
So it depends which of these heterim you're comfortable with, right? It could, what other harchatza mitzvah?
Theoretically, like helping prepare the mikvah for her.
Helping to prepare the mikvah for her. And I can't imagine a scenario where that happens, but yeah. Or even for the chafifa, let's say, draw the bath for her to do the chafifa, right, something like that. Okay, it's hard to call that a mitzvah because that itself is not a mitzvah; it's just like preparation for what?
Meaning
it's a tzorech mitzvah.
It sounds like,
but it's also the tzorech.
It sounds like
it's a tzorech intimacy. Meaning that gufa might be
right. It sounds like from the Gemara, the Arachos part of the Raglav, it's intimate because it's for cleanliness.
That it's intimate. Because it's for cleanliness? Meaning cleanliness as opposed to a mitzvah, you're saying?
Right.
But not cleanliness as opposed to tanuk. Tanuk is even worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Just, I'm not sure I fully understand why there's a filling between just Yadav and Panav Yadav and Raglav. Meaning it's just less time, yeah, it's just as intimate.
Yeah, Rav Azar suggests that Raglav is intimate. Yadav, oh, look it up. He has some Arba Kabbalas. He has that there's some discussion in the Echronim about this. Or even Rishonim, I think. Okay, Kol Isha. What about Kol Isha? So the Ben Ishchai in Parshas Tzav writes that a husband should not listen to Kol Ishto Nida. But if she needs to calm a child and the husband has nowhere to escape to, it's they live in a small apartment. You always hear when the other person is doing anything, and she wants to calm a child down. She wants to sing a lullaby to the child or whatever. The Lechem Asimla says that it's mutter. Or Chashulchan is machmir on Kol Ishto Nida, and Rav Meisha writes that since it's a suffix in the Pischei Tshuva, who am I to be machriya, and therefore may I roi lahachmir. Rav Meisha says, I can't be machriya on a suffix in the Pischei Tshuva, so you got to be machmir. Rav Shechter also said we should be machmir, and Rav Vosner goes even a step further, and he's machmir even for Zmiros, and even when there are lots of people all singing together, that a whole table of people singing, and one of them is Ishtonita, that you're not allowed to listen to the Zmir. So if you look at the Pischei Tshuva, Pischei Tshuva writes in Simkov Tzad Yesiv Kat Niyod, Afilu Kalachu Bikto Tzorich in Imutu Lishmoa Kol Zemer Shalah Me'achar Dugmar Shabbos Tav Yud Gimel Amar Makish Ishtonita Leishas Reiv. We compare Ishtonita to Leishas Reiv, so maybe that should be a reason to say that you're not allowed to listen to Kol Ishto Nida. Rak the Yichud Shari Mishum Datori Yidah Sugu B'Shan Kizis Tanej Nabam and Zayin. It's not fully like Eishas Re'eu. You're allowed to have Yichud with Ishto Nida. Ayin Tol Shem Dibra Masch Latori Yidah Yim Kein Nira Da Aser Da Be Eishas Re'eu Aser Kamo Shkos V'Brach Estav Chav Dalib Kol Bi Isha Erva Because Harash Shem Pirus Ushmoa V'Kein Kos V'Kol Afoskim B'Tzorach Yidah. So Pischei Tshuva leaves it as a tzorachi, and he seems to be nota lahachmir, because after all, it's like Eishes Re'ehu. Rav Avadya in Taras Habayis in Perek Yud Beis Oschav Tes is makel about Kol Isha, and Rabbi Sablovsky thought that it should really depend on whether you're ragil b'kach, meaning Rabbi Sablovsky thought it should be similar to the din of Makomas HaMachusim Shabbat. That how do we define the status of Makomas HaMachusim Shabbat? Those parts of her body that are normally, that you're not used to seeing around the house. So those parts of her body that she doesn't normally go, let's say if she uncovers her hair around the house all the time, then you're allowed to be mistakel at that. So she always sings around the house and you're regular in her singing voice, so then it's not going to be a problem. Though he acknowledged that Rav Meisha explicitly discusses that comparison and rejects it. Ramesha explicitly says, oh, maybe you should be totally regular, and then he says no. Rabbi Simon pointed out that the Tosfos Re'eim on the Sefer Yerayim says exactly like Rabbi Sadalovsky, meaning that comparison, makes exactly that comparison, and Rabbi Willig is also Mekel on Kol Ishto Nida. So what do you have over here? You have a whole group of poskim, and really the Mashmos and the Pischei Tshuva to be Machmir. You have Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Vadia, are Mekil. Rabbi Sablovsky's comparison makes a lot of sense, that it's something that's Ragil B'Kav. Now, where else does this concept of Ragil B'Kav come up? I mean, Rav Azner went pretty far with this, right? Rav Azner says, even Zmiros, which L'chor is a tzad l'hakel that it's Zmiros, right? Because Miros Kodesh, L'choros Tzad HaHakel, and the fact that Trekhali L'Mishlami, that there's so many people singing, and even that, he wanted to be Machmir. Zemiros makes it better and worse, because it makes it better in the sense that it's less chance of Yehurim when you're dealing with Kedusha, and it makes it worse in the sense that you're not supposed to say Dvarim Shel Kedusha in front of Erva. So if Kol B'Isha Erva, so it could be inherently inappropriate to have Dvarim Shel Kedusha in front of Kol Isha, which is Erva. So I wrote about this in a couple of my svarim. In the second chelek, I have a piece on mechitzos and shul, and the Chasam Sofer didn't like the idea that the Ezra's Nashim is positioned in a way where you can hear women's voices from the Ezra's Nashim. Now that is a two-way street, meaning if you're going to make an Ezra's Nashim where you can't hear women's voices, you are likely making an Ezra's Nashim where the women can't hear the men's voices, right? So that's somewhat, that's not going to pass the building committee, to make an Ezra's Nashim. Yeah, we'll make an Ezra's Nashim. It's going to be three blocks away, that's not going to work out as well. But the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, in Chelkeichos Mishpatim Kuvtzadi, thinks that that's a big deal, because he says, Kol B'Yisharva, how could it be that women are going to be screaming out in Tefillah, that we maybe singing along? Then everyone's going to have to stop davening. You're not allowed to daven. In the Sri De Eish, famously, in Chelek Aleph Simchas, he writes in the name of the Gedolei Ashkenaz that Zmiros Kodesh don't bring about Hirhurei Avelos. And he allows certain youth groups in France or wherever it was to have singing together. The way he describes it is very interesting. It's like, we have people always say it's the NCSY tshuva. What he's describing didn't sound exactly like NCSY. I don't know, it sounded a little different than NCSY. You look in the tshuva, he describes, of course, the boys and the girls are on different benches, but they're in the same room and they're singing at the same time. Whatever, okay. So, and he writes, very interestingly, it's a fascinating tshuva, could I see it at least once in your life. He writes, G'dolei Ashkenaz ha'yibikim u'mumchim b'chachmas achinuch, that the G'dolei Ashkenaz, the German G'dolei, were much better at chinuch than their counterparts in Eastern Europe. V'lechein etzlichu b'maaseyem lahakim doros shleimim shabala yirei shemayim v'askol chilonis ke'echad. And therefore they had a lot of rabbi doctors that actually had yirei shemayim, meaning they were able to produce people who were successful in secular studies and had a lot of yirei shemayim. Mashalo ola b'idei gone g'doli lito Poland. He says, and Lita, in Poland we failed miserably at that. Because in Lita and Poland, it was just the absolute insistence that you keep things exactly the way they always were, and they couldn't adjust based on the needs of the time. He says, that Rabbi Saul Salanter once went to Germany and he met Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer. And Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer was giving shiurim in Tanakh and Shulchan Aruch to women, young women. The Koamar, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter never saw something like that. That doesn't fly in Poland and Hungary. He didn't know what was going on. He says, "Im yavol mi mi rabbanei lita lahani came ba adaso." If one of the rabbanim in Lita were to try this, vade sheaviro so mekunaso, we'd fire him immediately. V'chein adin, he deserved to be fired. Mikol makom halavai sheyachelki began eden imagon atzad of Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, "I would love a seat in Gan Eden next to Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer." Fascinating. And then he goes on to say that the rabbanim in Poland and Hungary, these come to France and they see the German influence, the German rabbis' influence, and they start screaming. He says, these people have no idea what's going on with the kids in France at the time. So they could scream all they want. They're going to turn off a whole generation from Yiddishkeit. He said, you're going to take down the whole Kiruv organization, and then nobody's going to have anywhere to turn, and nobody's going to be from, because you want to be such a kanai. So, it's a fire tshuva. No, it's a very, very strongly worded tshuva. What about the fact that they're singing together? He says, I told them that when I first came to Berlin, after it was Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg. First of all, learn about Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg. Fascinating person. Very, very interesting person. But he said that when he came from Eastern Europe, and then he ended up in Berlin, and he saw Bibate Acharedim Mizamrim Anoshim Vinoshim Yachad Zmiros Kodesh Bishabis. You're not allowed to hear Kol Zemer of Nisha. I started screaming like any other good Litvisha Bachar would. Willem Achri Hakiru Drisha normally can't go to Sadaka Brazil Hildesheim, Lukhina Gorn Shamshon Valhursh for Frankfurt, Dal Narmain. He tear his music called Zamar Yachad. But then they told me the Brazil Hildesheim and the Rav Shamshon Valhursh were Matir. And they were Sumich and Shrei Kol Olam Shtami, that two voices singing together, you can't hear either one. V'kivet shem ezar miyach, lein chashash iser. Avalo nocha daiti bezeh. V'chipasi mitzasi b'steichem en marach eskol, shem b'shem rav esferadi, lahat yizmir eskol b'shal nashem nashem yachad. He said, I wasn't satisfied, then I looked in the steichem, and the steichem also has such a kula. So there was such a kula. So that's... Oh, there you go. You have this tradition in your family? You know the story?
Yeah, I mean, it depends who you ask.
I asked your father, so tell me the story, remind me.
No, so Rav Prel was visiting, right? He was visiting my great-grandfather.
Correct,
my great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
And they were singing Zmiros, and the story goes, I mean, again, depends who you ask, some people say different ways. You ask my great-uncle, who was there, he says that they started singing Zmiros, and one of the students turned to the Rebbe and says, how could this be? And he said that, no, it's because it's Kurdish and it's fine. If you ask certain people that were up the story, you'll say that certain versions of, you know, my great grandfather apologizing, but not my family story is that the student asks, and he says that because it's.
Oh, because I also heard a version where your great 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 wait, your great yeah. just
two
great
two great
great your great great grandfather said to Rav Baruch Baer in advance, you should just know the women are singing Zmiros on my table. If you don't like it,
so
you don't have to come.
So that's, we don't have that.
You don't have that nusach. Okay. Yeah.
So my grandmother-in-law has a sheikh who's serving at Hustites. And so she said that one time in Hustites invited Yaakov come and ask me for Shabbos, so it said you can only come if you let my daughter sing Zmiros at the table, because they sing Zmiros at the table, and her Yaakov still came.
Ah, okay. I mean, it's the same story, same person, same family, right? Meaning that would the stader. That such a thing would happen here.
Here's Rabbi said appears to be King of Agado.
Which? Oh, that's where it appears. I'm making up a gazon. Okay. Pekius. Okay. Very good.
Because he brought it in the state fair, and then my great uncle called him and told him what was the real story, and he refused to change it.
So oh, called Rav Nassim.
Yeah. Wow. Called,
making up a gazon is Rav Nassim Kamenetsky.
So whoever is involved in the state fair.
Okay.
Told the story, whatever it was. Yeah. It was all.
Right. Okay, fascinating. Okay, so a lot of fascinating things about this. But anyway, so what about Taka singing Zmiros? Is that a problem with Ishto Nida? Is that something, and is it a problem in general? So the Makar is Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Simen Ayin Hei. Yesh Li Zara Mishmias Kol Zemer Isha B'Shas Kriyashma. You're not allowed to hear Shmias Kol Zemer Isha B'Shas Kriyashma. And the Rama writes, Vafilu B'Ishto Aval, and here's the key line, Kol HaRogilbo Eino Erva. Then if it's a kol arugilbo, then it's not erva. What does that mean? Kol arugilbo. So how do you understand that? So two ways to understand. I'm just curious how you would understand that. Right? What's kol arugil? So one way of understanding is you're used to singing. You're to sing all the time. The other possibility is no. Kol arugilbo means a kol that you're allowed to be rugilbo, meaning her speaking voice. That as long as her speaking voice, as long as she's speaking, you're allowed to say kriyat shema, because that's not a singing voice. It's a speaking voice. So let us say, so that in Teres Tzvi he writes that afilu kol zemer if you're ragilbo, or Chashulchan says as well, aval kol dibura mutter v'chein kol aragilbo mutter b'yishto gam l'kriyashma. The Aruch Chashulchan says not only kol dibura but also kol aragilbo. So Rav Fisher, Dayan Fisher in Chuvas Evan Yisrael Chelik Tes, page Nunches, says that we could be matir young girls to sing Zmir Shabbos because it's ragil b'kat nusa. And a kol arugilbo is not going to be an erva, meaning that if they were singing when they were little girls, and you're used to hearing their voice, so it's called a ragilba, so therefore they can continue to sing zmiros, and you can bench, and you can say brachos, and it's not erva, and it's not anything around the family. However, the mashmos of the Ramah is that kol zemer is not kol ragil, because when the Mechaber says yesh li zormi kol zemer isha b'shas kriyashma, the Ramah writes that that's afilu b'ishto. L'chora by ishto, it's kol ragilba, meaning if kol ragil means a singing voice that you're used to hearing, l'chora your wife's voice would qualify as a singing voice that you're used to hearing. So it sounds like kol ragil that's going to be mutter is only going to be the kol dibur. And in Shmuel Kamenetsky, in the Sefer Kovitz Halachos and Shabbos Chelik Aleph Perek Yud Dalid, writes that kol ragil means kol dibur bialma, and he says that stam kol dibur of Nisha is gorim lihirur even if she doesn't sing, but a kol ragil kamo kol dibur shel ishto is mutter. And it's different than kol zemer shafilu ragil ba aser, because it's going to be margilu laveira, because it sounds so nice when she sings. So it would turn out that you should not be allowed to sing zmiros that have psukim and shemos kodesh when a woman is singing. Forget about ishto nida, any woman, according to Shmuel Kamenetsky, and that's talking about Shmuel Kamenetsky paskins, which makes that Rabbi Yaakov story even better, right? Because that's what Shmuel paskins that. So Shmuel says the best thing to do if there are women singing at the table, sing louder. Okay, and better not to sing out Shemos Hashem in the Zmiros. In Shuvos Van Hagos, Chelik Alef Siman Kuf Lamed Chesef, Shtormach writes Mikra Din, it's mutter for a sister to be mezamer when there are no outsiders there, meaning sisters at around the table. Because Mikra Din, you're even allowed to kiss your younger sister, your Achos HaKetana, if she's on the Bas Mitzvah, and even if she's a Gedola, it's only Mishun that it's a Dover Magun, right? That was how Rabbi Sablavsky assumed also, that Rambam, with all that strong Lashon, right? Rabbi said it was so interesting how Rabbi Sablavsky did that, right? He said, the Rambam writes that it's, it's a Dover Magun. He left out the part of the Rambam where the Rambam says, Dover's an Osirhu, or something like that, right? That was the Lashon. But that's what we'll understand. It doesn't really mean that it's an Isser. And Shlomo says, it doesn't really mean that it's an Isser. Even by your adult sisters aren't really an issue. So by Shmias called Zemer, when it's not to enjoy it, it's just to sing the Zemiros, not to enjoy it in any of that kind of way, then there's no Isser Min Adin. But he says, Mistavra, that with an older sister you should be more Machmir, which is interesting, because when I asked Rav Tversky about women covering their hair in front of their siblings, so he said it should be just like Kalisha. So I said, yeah. So Rav Tversky was machmir on both of those things. Again, Rav Willig was mekel on both of those things. Rav Tversky was machmir on both of those things. Rav Sobolevsky said, that's where you be kimchis, right? That's where a person should be kimchis, that they should cover their hair. Okay. Rav Yashiv in Kovitz Chuvas, Chel Gimel Simin Yud, also discusses this. And he says, what the halakha of Pesukim Shel Chorah, Kol Yisha Erva, and therefore, when you send Kriya Shema, if you would be Ishto, Lav Tavka Kriya Shema, any Dabar Shema Kedusha, would be asr. Just like it's asr keneged shok shalisha, it's asr keneged kol avisha as well. That's how Rav Yashiv writes. So lemaisa, you have all of this discussion, but with kol ishto nida, so it's a little bit more reason to be machmir. And afal pikein, the presumption is, I think the most mistaver mahalich is Rabbi Sablavsky's mahalich, that we assume kol haragil means a singing voice that's ragil, like the poskim say. If your wife's singing voice is something that's called a ragil, that she sings all the time to the baby to put the baby to sleep or whatever, then it would not be a problem of kol isha. She doesn't sing. She shouldn't sing love songs to you, but that's not just an issue of singing. That's an issue of she shouldn't say love things to you, meaning things, suggestive things to you either. Nor you to her. Okay, last thing, smelling her perfume. So the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, and Birkei Yosef, and Arachayim, and Reish Yud Zayin, Sif Gimel, says that a husband should not smell his wife's perfume when she's in Nida, even though Suga B'Shoshanim tells us that we trust people, we avoid that kind of temptation, right? Suga B'Shoshanim, Mar Sened Lam Zayin, we trust the husband with Ishto Nida, not if he's smelling her perfume. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Yud Zayin Sif Dal, Shulchan Aruch writes, Bisamim shall erva, kigon kupa shall bisam tali bitzavara. If let's say there's an erva that's wearing perfume. Now again, perfumes then were not spritz bottles. Perfume were like a necklace with all sorts of spices on them. So olachesus biyado bepia ain mevarchin aleim. Even though this is in hilchos birchas areach, in reishis zayin hilchos birchas areach. So you don't make a bracha on such a reach. Because you're not allowed to smell them. So the Taz over there in Aruch Chaim says nearly the regil snakas she regila b'kach. Avul mikol malchum afilu imisira misham umunach asur levarich aleim dasu levarerva v'suda yavulde here biyodeo makira. Taz says even though the Shulchan Aruch says that while the erva is wearing her perfume, you're not allowed to smell it. Taz says, that's just the most common case where you would smell it. But even if she took her perfume off, you're not allowed to smell it. So you come home, your wife's not even home, but her perfume is sitting there on the counter. So says Taz, you're not allowed to smell that either. Again, it's a kind of perfume that was like a necklace that she would wear. So she took it off, and now it's sitting there on the counter. Even that, you're not allowed to smell. Pischei Tshuva over here in Sifkat Nalev refers you back to Aruch Chaim Simreish Zayin. And Shakasa Bashema Birke Yosef to also the Riach Mibsam Shalah Avsha Tori Yidusugu Bashadim, we call Bog Mishra Strachik. For similar dubber, Sugu Bishoshanim to Tzarech Siyag Gam Bishoshan. Says, good way to remember, they shouldn't smell their perfume, is that exact phrase, Sugu Bishoshan. That even if it's something that smells like roses, that's Dafka where you need a Suga, that's where you need a Siyag for smelling things. I ain't Tash Sham Sivkan Gimush Kosta, Filu Mi Sira. Good. So if by an erva you're not allowed to smell, and you wouldn't say a bracha on the reyach of a besamim of an erva, then you're also not allowed to smell the besamim of your wife, even when she's not wearing them. So the question is, how does that apply to us, right? How does that apply to spray perfumes bizman hazeh? Meaning, the difference is that when a perfume was a bunch of spices she wore as a necklace, it was actually perfume that she had worn, right? When you pick up your wife's perfume bottle, whatever's left in the bottle, she has not yet worn. That's why it's still in the bottle. It's not like at the end of the day, she takes it all off and smears it back into the bottle, right? Whatever she's worn has been taken out of the bottle already. So is that the same? So in Darki Tshuva, Nor HaShulchan Adon Sivkot Gimli says that it's also to smell it when it's on her body, but it's mutter when it's in the bottle. He says, If you just like the smell of that perfume, you could pick it up. You know, you're in a department store and your wife is shopping and you're standing there and there's all these perfumes. I don't know, try that. You know, so you're allowed, even if one of them happens to be the perfume your wife likes, you're allowed to smell that. Question is, can a woman wear perfume? Is it usher for an isha nida to put on perfume? So some say that the fact that it's usher, if you look around the kitzur books, they say the fact that it's usher to smell the perfume indicates that she shouldn't be wearing her perfume. L'chora, it indicates the opposite, no? Right? Meaning, if there's an issue for you to smell it, it's probably because she has it, right? Meaning the assumption is that she's going to be wearing perfume. And you just shouldn't get so close that you're gonna smell a perfume. You shouldn't be leaning in so close that you can be able to smell the perfume. And so clearly she shouldn't go overboard with it, right? You know, it's done. In general, you probably shouldn't go overboard with it. But if she puts on a little bit of perfume, so you probably shouldn't get so close that you're going to be able to smell the perfume. But smelling a perfume, l'chora, is included in this. Yeah. That she's gonna. I think it's like a good gedder, you know? Like if you're able to smell a perfume, you'll know that you're too close. When I was in Camp Masora as a teen, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky was the head counselor of the teen division at the time in Camp Masora. It was before his first year teaching in DRS. He was, first year teaching MTA, before his first year teaching MTA. So he was like 25 years old. And I remember he was giving a guy Musser, not me. I remember who it is. It's a guy who's a fine Rosh Kollel nowadays, but he was giving a guy Musser about how close the guy was, like, very frum, right? So he said, but no, I'm Shomer Negiya, at least in public, whatever. You know, like, but he was sitting very, very close to a girl who's a fine, fine frum woman now. not married to that Rosh Kollel. And he said, if you can smell her perfume, you're too close. So that like rings in my head. So that's probably true of Ishta Nida also. If you could smell her perfume, you're too close. So it's a good get there. Okay. All right. Well, something. So maybe that's we got to figure out tomorrow. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we have Rabbi Will. The question is, should we do anything else? Should we have like a half hour of shiur? Should we? Is that too much shiur in one day? Is that not too much shiur in one day? Should we do a full hour? Should we do parsha? No parsha. You tell me. So maybe don't tell me. Tell Matthew, and he'll tell me. Okay. Sounds good. All right.